This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. After getting a firsthand look at the Maui wildfire devastation, President Biden promises federal help.
On behalf of the United States of America, all the nation, the American people stand with you.
At least 114 people have died and 850 are still listed as missing. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti on the search in Lahaina.
Hey, buddy, ready to go?
Christy Borman and her dog Canyon are one of 40 cadaver dog teams sifting through what little remains.
The structures that are burned have been burned completely. And so we're talking about ash and we're talking about metal, and that's basically what's left of those structures.
Tropical storm Hillary has created widespread flooding and mudslides through Southern California, bringing down a 60-foot oak tree in Laguna Hills, where this man lives.
The sound was like, it was really huge sound. I never thought that it's a tree. I thought maybe it's an accident or something.
Las Vegas had declared a state of emergency ahead of Hillary. KPIX-TV's Max Darrow reports that a community on Mount Charleston, Nevada, has significant flooding.
The threat still remains, but it's getting less and less throughout the day. But again, up in that mountainous community, that is where the active flooding still is happening right now, where the Nevada National Guard is there to assist with some of the cleanup efforts and also helping out the people who live up there.
Family members of many 9/11 victims say they do not want to see a plea deal involving those allegedly behind the terror attacks.
It is our fervent hope you will once again stand up for the victims. Those words in a letter to President Biden from more than 2,000 9/11 family members and survivors. It's after the Pentagon last week sent a letter to the families revealing plea deals are being considered in which the five men would accept responsibility and plead guilty in exchange for not receiving the death penalty. Plea deals would eliminate the public trials of the men. Yet families say they are still waiting to see phone records and other documents that could shed light on that fateful day. Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
A new report by the Army Special Operations Command finds that female soldiers face rampant sexism, harassment, and other gender-related challenges in Army Special Ops units. According to the report, the majority of negative attitudes coming from senior non-commissioned officers. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland says he isn't surprised.
The Army, which has a significant percentage of the people in special operations, has had a continuous problem that they can't seem to divest themselves of in terms of sexual assault and sexual harassment across the force.
Just hours after his bond is set at $200,000, former President Trump says he will surrender Thursday on Georgia charges, accusing him of illegally scheming to overturn his 2020 election loss. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters. More than 80 million Americans depend on AM Radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM Radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Site at LatunjisPalette.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Robert, I cannot hear you, but this portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition. All right, I think we're having just a little bit of technical difficulties, but happy Monday, everyone. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Haley Cherry. I am producing with host Robert Pilot, and today we have a great show. We have, as usual, Dr. Anthony Stately from the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. We'll be dropping in here shortly. I'm not sure if we have Dr. Stately on the phone yet, but we are also going to be having Linda Seibert Kilborn will be joining us. And Linda works with she's the co-founder of MCARSM, which is Michigan's Coalition Against Racism in Sports Media. And I think what we're going to be talking about is just some mascots in school. Really what we're going to be discussing was the Washington Commanders in the NFL. I've been seeing a lot of things online, just petitions about changing the name back from Commanders to the Washington Redskins. And honestly, I'm not sure how to feel about that. You know, the Redskins, I mean, that is, you know,
can you hear me now, Haley?
Yes, I got you, Robert. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, well, I wanted to leave you hanging there and test you. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, Dr. Stately doesn't have a link, he says, so that's why he's not on now, and I had to reboot my computer. One of the things you were talking about with the across the country now, they're talking about getting, as you said, the Redskins name back, which we don't like to talk about, and also the Cleveland Indians. So we're not really happy with that. And hopefully, I was thinking over the years, there have been many, many people wanting to get rid of the name with these kind of actions. So hopefully the same thing will happen. They were totally ignored when they had all these petitions go out against getting rid of the name, and now they're having a petition to change the name back. So it's really, it's just an interesting upside down world again. They can't understand really where we're at with, you know, what's racist and what's not racist, you know, so we'll be talking a lot about that in the second half of the hour here. And, while we're waiting for Dr. Stately, we're going to talk a little bit, Haley. You were at the Shakopee powwow, this past weekend, really toasty on Saturday. Saw a lot of people, a lot of listeners out there, Haley, that listen to Native Roots Radio and of course, Native Roots Arts, which is, our store, run by my Weeha, which means second daughter in Ho-Chunk, and her husband, Jelaine and Micah. They did a great job, and you did a great job helping them set up. So
thank you. Yeah, Pina Gigi. It was a blast. We were out at Wachipi. Yes. So, and that was probably the biggest, honestly, well put together powwows that I have seen in years, and definitely the biggest. Just so many vendors. I believe they said Friday night's grand entry, there was over 1,000 dancers registered that danced grand entry.
1,047, I heard, to be exact. Excuse me. And the grand entry, if you've been to a powwow before, if you have ever been to a powwow before, I should say, you know, that was over 40 minutes of dancers coming in. Of course, you start out with the honor guard, you know, and the staffs and the flags. And it's really interesting, too, because the military, our veterans, bring the flags in. And it's always kind of interesting that all our flags are before the United States flag. So that's pretty interesting. And you know, and the veterans, which we have more veterans per capita than any other community in the United States. So, and we were just celebrating like last week, the code talkers. And speaking of not being able to talk, I'm glad Dr. Stately's here, because We're just looking at each other, Haley and I, Dr. Stately, and we don't know what we're doing here without you. So I'm glad you are able to make it. And how are things going, Dr. Stately? Missed you Saturday at the powwow we were talking about.
Yeah.
And it looks like Dr. Stately can't hear us now. So it's
yes, it's a, I think it's he a muted
fun
himself.
Monday. Can you hear us, Dr. Stately? Well, it doesn't look like that he can hear us. But we had a good time at the powwow. It was 3 days. So many people from all over the country. Just an amazing 3 days. And again, it was super hot. So I had to leave midday on Saturday, and because it was getting up there in the temperatures. And now our next gig is the state fair. So that's going to be super hot coming up here. Dr. Stately, can you hear us?
I can.
Hey, welcome to Native Roots Radio. And thanks for coming to save us, because Haley and I are just blabbing
struggling
about it. Struggling. Yeah, that was good. Yes, we're struggling. Even though we do this every day, we were struggling. Yeah.
I think it's like an old hat for you.
Hey, Dr. Stately. Yeah. Guess who I almost bought earrings from this weekend?
Oh, from my brother, Charlie?
Yes, I met your brother, Charlie. He was seriously the nicest guy.
You didn't buy them after. He's a great guy.
I know. Yeah, I did go back. They sold out. I went back looking.
I know. Like, what I've learned, like, when you go to those powwows, like, if you see something you really, really like you just gotta hop on it, because
yeah,
You know, there's like 3,000 people there. Like, you literally come back and like your thing's gone by the time you come back. It's like,
yep.
My sister bought some amazing earrings and she was like so excited. So then the person she was with, she handed her the bag to her to like hold on to. And then she ended up losing the bag. And then my sister was like, oh, yeah, my sister, I know. You know what? Like, I love what my sister, she has such an amazing spirit. My sister Ramona, she says, you know, like, I would get upset. She's like, someone's going to have a really great powwow today.
Exactly.
Yeah. Shoot. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and we're going to be talking heat and a lot of things here in the next coming segment. You're listening to Native Roots Radio. Too bad we can't reboot this. This is a live show. Ho-wa. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Attention, Native American community. We've come a long way in our fight against COVID-19. The emergency declaration may be over, but our responsibility to stay vigilant remains. It is crucial to remember that the virus is still among us, and we must continue to prioritize our health and the well-being of our loved ones and elders. Besides getting vaccinated, let's not forget the basics when we're around people who are still vulnerable to COVID-19. Wear your mask, wash your hands regularly, and take an at-home COVID-19 test if you have any symptoms. We've shown incredible strength and resilience throughout history, and we will triumph over this challenge as well. Let's honor our ancestors by taking care of one another and keeping our communities safe. Together, let's navigate uncertain times with courage and unity. Stay informed, stay safe, and remember that our actions today will shape a brighter future for our Native community. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our live call-in talk show airing every Saturday from noon to one, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights you need to know to live and age well. Each week, we talk with guests who provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and self-care for caregivers, and help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to one on AM 950 for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by St. Paul Public Schools, now giving out signing bonuses, so make sure to check them out at spps.org.
Hey, it's that time of year, too. School starting in another week. I know the teachers go back a week before the students, and I always remember that as a sad and happy thing to see my colleagues, at least the ones I liked, you know, I hadn't seen all summer, and the kids were coming, and it was just a beginning of the new. But at the end of the school year, I'm burnt and ready to retire every year. So it's a kind of a fun time of year. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and we're rebooting the show here. Even though it was live, we have Dr. Stately, who you all know is the CEO of the Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we discuss a lot of things. Dr. Stately knows a lot of history of our community and all over Turtle Island, and his late great mother was a big mover and shaker back in the day, and we just appreciate Dr. Stately coming in and talking about a few things. We can wrap up the powwow talk a little bit here, too, and I want to talk about the weather because it's going to be harsh here again, and the fair starting and all these things. And Dr. Stately, at the powwow Saturday, I was telling everyone I'm going to do a walk around. I was at our booth, and I was going to do a walk around and see what's going on and then maybe leave, blah, blah, blah. And I had problems walking around. It was so hot. I was like, oh, I'm getting back to the booth there and the fan and everything. It's kind of an age thing, but it's also, I guess, the smoke and a combination of everything. I was kind of winded.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably a normal reaction. It is like, I think at its peak, if I'm not mistaken, it was like 92, maybe close to that. High 80s, maybe in the low 90s.
Oh, it's low 90s for sure.
You know, and I went as well, and I heard you were there, so I did look for you. I was like, no, tell me it's not true. He's here. So I heard you were there, but when I went around like 5:30. So I had like about an hour, a little, maybe an hour before grand entry. And it was hot. I was like surprised it was still hot at 5:30. And I was like, okay, well, gosh, I was thinking, my first thought was like, how are these people dancing? Like, how is it possible? They're just like, you know, it's just a testament to like how like much goes into being a dancer. You know, you're wearing like, I don't know, 50 pounds of regalia on top of like everything else you're carrying, you know, the bones of your ancestors and a few other things. But, you know, like you're out there and you're just like, you're doing your thing, which is like, you know, socializing, dancing, celebrating, you know, expressing gratitude for being here and, you know, giving this amazing experience for us and for the creator, you know. And
right,
but I was just astounded at like the fact that that many people would be able to be in that space at that temperature, and like they all, none of them look grumpy or anything, they're all smiling and happy and really excited to be together. And I saw a lot of laughter and a lot of like really great things. I got there just in time for grand entry, so that was amazing. It's like my favorite thing, grand entry at Shakti Powwow. It's like, you know, just watching them do their thing, and it's so amazing. And I ran into like my brother and his kids and all of his grandkids, and I swear he had a whole section to himself, just like, you know, I was like, holy.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, and I was there the night before, and the grand entry on Friday was 45 minutes, and it was just beautiful.
Was beautiful too.
And I really like checking out the applique, because that's pretty Ho-Chunk. I know other tribes use it out in Nebraska, but that, just seeing the different appliques on those dresses, whether it's, you know, a fancy dress or fancy shawl, or, you know, it's just fun. It really, really is just fun to see that.
Yeah.
Did you ever dance? Did you ever
No, not powwow dance.
Not disco dancing in the 70s. I know you did that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I gave John Travolta a run for his money.
I was thinking more like Danny Terrio.
Well, him too. So,
anyways, do you remember
Danny
him?
Terrio was, from Dance Fever. Yeah. He was the guy that trained John Travolta. That's how he got so famous.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I always learn stuff on here that I never thought I'd ever learn, but thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. I showed Saturday Night Fever to my sons not too long ago, and you know, I forgot about some of it, and I was like, oh my, you know, the scene where she gets raped in the car.
Right.
And I was like, so then I had to do a whole lot of talking about stuff. I was like, Jesus.
Right.
This is like the problem with being an elder, is like you forget, you know, the parts of things that are top of mind, right? I was like, oh my God, I'm like looking for the remote and trying to shut off in time, and you know.
Well, I haven't seen it in years, but I remember like, John Travolta's character, like around the lunch or dinner table with the father kind of being abusive. And I was going, geez, I only remember good dancing and good music in this, you know, groundbreaking music at the time. And thank goodness disco only lasted a few years, but it was like really hip and happening my senior year in high school.
Did it last like a whole decade or no? Like, I guess maybe like 7 years possibly. Yeah. Anyway, we're derailing. But one of the things I want to say about that powwow was, like, I ran into, like, so many people. Like, I told my brother, and my niece was visiting from L.A., so I'd say hi to them. And, like, hey, I'm going to go find something to eat, and I'll be back. And, like, I'm just walking along, and I just run into all these people I haven't seen in forever. That's what I love about that powwow, and that's what I love about Joseph going to powwows, period. It's, like, I run into people I haven't seen in, like, months, if not years. And it's like we pick up the conversation like right where we left off, and I see like all these really, like, I'm like, oh my god. And I saw people I hadn't seen in years. Like the last time I saw them, they were shorter than me, now they're taller than me. And I was like,
right,
you know, it's such an amazing experience. And by the time I got back to the stand after getting my buffalo steak sandwich, they were gone. My family was gone.
Well, I got to tell you a quick story, and I don't mean to be taking up your time, but I got to tell you a quick story. So yesterday, this young girl who must have been about anywhere from 11 to 12 years old, her father said, sing for these guys. Like, I was leaving, and, you know, in a good way. And, you know, she hemmed and hawed a little bit for a little bit, and then she sang, and it was beautiful. And so I just said to her, pick anything you want off in Native Roots trading post here and you can have it. And she bought she got some really nice hooped earrings. But it was just like, what a gift. And that's kind of the things that are happening in these powwows and little buckets of area. Like, you're running into people, you know, and it just going around around the grounds or by the food, you just run into little teeny miracles like that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like a great experience. It's always just, and it's a time for me to reflect on, like, this is how we were as communities, like, before colonization. Like, right, we would spend time with one another. We'd go to another person's camp. We'd spend time with them. We'd eat food. We'd sing. We'd dance. We'd share stories. We'd laugh. Maybe we would tell sad stories if there was, like, you know, somebody we lost that we know each other. Mm-hmm. I certainly had that experience there. There was a friend of mine who died recently, and I hadn't seen her family members in a while, and that was sad. But it was just like, you know, the thing that about a powwow is it's an opportunity for us to reconnect with people we haven't seen for a really long period of time, people who hold a special place in our heart or a memory or whatever. And it's like, in that moment in time, it's as though time is kind of like you teleported through time, and all of a sudden you picked up right where you left off, and you're just, you know, laughing again. And there's nothing like Indian music, Indian dancing, and Indian humor, and you get all of that at the powwow.
Yeah, definitely. I got to see a couple former students who were dancing, and one of them who could have gone anywhere in the country on her grades, one of my former students who was in my last in-person homeroom, she's going to Augsburg. And I just said, you know, check it out for a year or maybe go all 4 years. But, you know, I just want you to know that the community's proud of you. So proud of you to move on and get educated and be a good warrior and a good person that she is. You know, and it's an opportunity to see people like that.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's amazing. It's one of my favorite powwows. The next powwow I'll go to will be in a couple of weeks. I'll go to Makato.
Yeah.
Which is also another favorite powwow of mine. It's a little bit less hot. Usually it's, you know, smaller. See, like, have a little bit more time to spend with people. You don't feel like you're, you know, at a drinking from a water hose there. And then I'll probably also go to the Minneapolis Indian Ed powwow at the end of September, which is now, I think, going to be the last powwow of the season officially, probably.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's always good to see you, and great for stopping in. And I know you have things to do, so. Thank you, Dr. Yeah. Stately, and fun little conversation there. And next stop, I don't know if you're going to be at the fair Thursday or Friday, but if you are, stop by and we'll talk about the fair in a good way.
We'll do, for sure. My next stop is Fond du Lac, so I'll see you on Thursday, though. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. Hey, that was Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in Minneapolis in the Twin Cities. Thanks again, Dr. Stately. All right, we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. President Biden tours Maui wildfire destruction and promises the U.S. government will help. This woman points out one needed improvement.
We didn't have any messages or any warnings at all that the fire was coming until the police officer was actually in my neighborhood. I want to see changes. There needs to be a better emergency system here.
After dumping rain on parts of Southern California, remnants of Tropical Storm Hillary threaten other states. Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren.
The moisture left over from Hillary still brings the potential for flash flooding. That threat extends from Arizona and the Mexico border all the way up to Canada, including parts of the Pacific Northwest.
An Army Special Operations Command report finds that female soldiers face rampant harassment and other gender-related challenges in Army Special Ops units. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland.
Special Operations Forces lend themselves to a sort of a hyper sense of manliness, the toughest of the tough, and that makes this more and more difficult.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
Visit the website at latunjispalette.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much, Haley. And also, great job, Haley. Nina said great job earlier in the show when you were running the show in a good way. So I really appreciate you, Haley. Hey, we have right on. Hey, we have Linda Kilborn on, and she's a co-founder of the Michigan Coalition Against Racism in Sports and Media. And can you hear us, Linda?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. Hey, welcome to Native Roots Radio. I really appreciate you spending some time with us and talking about what's happening in Michigan. I just want to say it's kind of weird that in the last two or three weeks, I see like petitions about bringing racist names back to a couple professional sports teams. It's just, are we in a upside down world here or what?
Yeah, I've noticed that myself. It's kind of been the talk around here. You know, it's people just don't want to give up and they keep pushing.
Yeah, well, I hope it's as hard as it was for us to get these names removed, because I know for years we've been protesting and having petitions out on that Washington name especially. So you have a lot going on in Michigan, and just something dropped here a few days ago. I wonder if you could let our audience know a little bit about yourself and what's happening in Michigan right now.
Well, I'll just introduce myself. Bujru Aninishna, Ajawananimpikwe Dishes Nakas, Shikandotum, First Kalamazoo River in Donjaba, Anishinaabekwe. I've resided in Michigan my whole entire life. Got to spend my summers in the South with my father's side of the family. And I've been involved with the mascots for many years now. Our first schools here, two of them changed in 1968, and it's been a continuous battle and effort ever since, trying to get schools changed. There's also two other co-founders with our organization. It's Jim Farrar and Gary Manowski. So the three of us kind of came together quite a few years back. Basically because schools didn't want to listen to individuals. They felt that you had to be an organization or belong to somebody or, you know, that type of thing. So back then we were going down to Cleveland, working with the Cleveland Indians, and got permission from Charlene Teeters, which then had the National Coalition Against Racism in Sports and Media, to become the Michigan Coalition. And Jim worked pretty close with the Bell Accords and them. So that's kind of how we became the Michigan Coalition. So then when we went to school board meetings and stuff like that, we could use an organizational name. And for some strange reason, they would perk up and listen to you. So, you know, so that kind of, you know, things got started that way. But originally, for me, it was my children. They were attending Marshall High School at the time, and they were the Redskins, and which we don't like using that word, but, you know.
Yeah.
And that kind of got things started for our family. Of course, we became the bad guys and all that, and it took quite a few years working on that to get it changed, and ended up in a civil rights complaint. We were the first ones to do that and won. Mm. And then, you know, it was just, we started getting phone calls from other families in other towns, and they'd ask us to come help them. And we just kind of came together and would support them and do what we could do to help make changes. And it's just been that way ever since. So we never go into a community, at least we haven't yet, that we weren't welcome to. Like, you know, if a family would call and say, please come help us, mm-hmm. they'd tell us the situation with the, you know, what the kids were going through and whatnot. Or we've actually had school boards these last few years call and ask us to come, which is a good thing. So, yeah, that's basically how it all came about, more or less.
Mm-hmm. Well, what have you seen in changing-wise? I think one of the interesting aspects about the Redskin name is really where that comes from. And a lot of the conversation from the people that want to keep the name say they're honoring us. And then on the other side, if you look up really where the word Redskin comes from, and the scalps and the blood and all that, it's not a favorable name at all.
Oh, absolutely not. No. I think it's basically more or less, we go with the education. We try to educate as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's times when we have to bump things up and protest and whatnot, but we always do as much education as we can. I think that's an important factor, but you always have people who just, they just don't want to accept the truth. You know, we've had the other side of history for so long, and it's been pressed on us through the school system, some stuff that they just don't want to believe, anything other than what they believe. So it's pretty difficult. But, Redskins is like the very worst slur that anyone could possibly use from the meaning. You know, I was taught that they actually would scalp us and skin us from our necks down to our ankles and then make bridle chaps and reins and things like that. Similar to what Hitler did to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they made lampshades out of the Jewish people. So, yeah, there was a Holocaust in this country. And, you know, it needs to be told and explained and whatnot so that people can understand, you know, all the things Native people have went through all this time. And you know, there's things that still go on today. People don't want to believe it, but it happens. You know, it's going on.
Yeah.
So it's always an uphill battle.
Totally is. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's an education thing. And, you know, we have, listening to our show all over Turtle Island, we have a lot of white allies that listen to this and get educated. These are things that we know as natives, but it's really good to talk about in this media that we're on. We're all over Turtle Island. We have over 200,000 listeners listening to us. And just to educate them in a good way, you know, I still see when the Atlanta team is in the playoffs or they have big crowds, I still see the chop. You know, the it's supposed to be some tomahawk chop or some kind of some kind of thing with singing, and it's just really it's creepy now, especially with all the education out there.
Right. I think, you know, we can give some credit back to those old Hollywood movies.
Right.
You know, the romancing and all the war hoots and everything that people, you know, they just hang on to that for some reason. It's really strange because, you know, it's a lot of it here is now we're down to the smaller towns, you know, and it's like it's the Friday night football thing. You know, that's what they live for. And yeah, if you try to take it away from them, as they say, you know, it's like they don't know what else to live for. They don't know what they're going to do on Friday night. And but, you know, it's I try to understand it for years, and it's difficult, you know, when you're on the side of the fence that we walk on, you know, trying to understand why they grab a hold of something like that and just can't let go, you know. Right. But I think it's because they grow up, they stay in one place, they don't venture out really. Of course, kids nowadays do, you know, they're off going to college and whatnot. And, but it's the older crowd,
right?
You know, like my age and stuff, they just can't let go of it. It's like they think they're going to die without it. So, yeah, it's kind of complicated at times. And then they also want to dig their heels in and just, you know, you can't tell me what to do. And it doesn't matter what you do, they're not going to change their minds. So,
yeah, that's a really good point. And I think Hollywood, like you said, has not done us any favors. And also, there's that big disconnect between cities and small towns. You know, here in Minnesota, they just passed a law that they have to have the 11 tribes here okay their native name, or they have to get rid of it. And I think it's coming up in September where they have to petition to the 11 tribes here in Minnesota to keep their, I know the Warwood Warriors want to keep their name and their mascot. And there's a lot of native kids and a lot of native history up there in a good way. So it'll be interesting to see what name or who keeps their names and who doesn't, and who's talked to these 11 tribes.
Yeah, that's an interesting subject in itself there, too. We have 12 federally recognized tribes here in Michigan, and I think 4 state-recognized tribes. And we have United Tribes of Michigan that the tribes can belong to, you know, and they do a lot of stuff. They've written resolutions against the use of mascots and stuff, and they've done a lot here. The Huron-Anawissippi Band actually created a Native American Heritage Fund where it's something like $500,000 a year goes into it. I think their first year was like 2018, where schools can apply for rebranding, you know, when they pick a new name and stuff. And that has helped a lot because that's always been one of the biggies that schools couldn't afford to make the change, even if they wanted to.
Right.
So now they can make an application, you know, and submit it and hopefully receive some funding to make those changes. So it's really helped the cause here, you know, so we're very thankful to them for that. And we have a lot of tribal support here in Michigan. I think we've collected almost every tribe resolution, you know, against the youth. And we present that to the schools, you know, hand them the resolutions and show them that the tribes, you know, are have spoken and, you know, they're saying it's not good and this and that. But then still, we have just changed our last Redfin school here in Michigan in April, Canaan Frontier. And it's quite interesting. We have a person there who claims Native heritage, but she's attempting her second recall right now because she's proud to be a Redskin.
Right.
So, you know, you deal with that, those situations at times, too. So, yeah, it can get quite interesting. But we've also seen the other side of it where back in the 90s and the 80s, especially, things would get violent, very violent. You know, people would get beat up. We had cars damaged, death threats. It got really crazy at times. Yeah, where I think now we're seeing more, well, since 2020, we've had 19 schools change.
Hey, Linda, so can you hold on for another segment? We got to take a quick break.
Sure.
Absolutely great. Hey, we're with Linda Kilbourn, Michigan Schools Michigan Coalition Against Racism in Sports and Media. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us. Be a vaccinative. It's time to come together and talk about the urgent need to stay up to date on COVID-19 vaccinations to protect our heritage, our loved ones, and our future. Throughout history, we have always faced challenges, and today we must protect our culture and loved ones. This is our opportunity to ensure that our tribal gatherings once again resound with joy and celebration, where the echoes of our ancestors guide our steps. It's a chance to care for our elders, cherishing their wisdom and stories for generations to come. COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. Let us unite, resilient as ever, and show the world the strength of the Native American community. Together, we shape a future where our traditions thrive, our children learn from our ancestors, and our people flourish once more. So be a vaccinative and learn more about staying up to date with your COVID vaccinations at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Yes, they do. And we're really glad to have them as a really long sponsor. We really appreciate Howling for Wolves, and we really appreciate them protecting our relatives all over Turtle Island here. Hey, we're here with Linda Kilborn and Michigan Coalition Against Racism in Sports and Media. We're having a really good conversation about kind of the history of mascots and kind of how they want to bring it back. Welcome back, Linda.
Oh, thank you very much. Me good.
Hey, so like here in Minnesota, I was talking about, we have the trifecta. We have the governor, we have the Senate, and legislators are all Democrats. And a lot of really, really good things have happened here in this last session when it comes to Native things. We have representation with our lieutenant governor and also one state senator and three other representatives that are Native American, and we're moving forward on a lot of good things. How is it in Michigan?
Well, we have a lot of stuff going on. They have a Democratic Anishinaabe caucus now that's been doing a lot of work in different areas. We have had support from some of the senators and stuff. We attempted three bills here a while back. Unfortunately, we didn't get them as far as we hoped for. During the lame duck, they pulled them. But it's a lot of work. You know, we just keep at it. And there's a lot of good things going on, you know. People are trying to do things in a good way. The tribes have come together on a lot of things here. So it's just, you know, keep moving forward and doing the best that we can. Our State Board of Education has just revised and rewrote the resolution against Native American mascots. The first one we got in 2003, and then they revised it in 2010 and 2016. So they just revised it here this last month just to bring it more up to date again. So there's a lot of stuff going on.
Well, it's exciting. And, you know, what I guess I always like to ask for a call of action, too, and especially with just generally speaking about mascots. But how can we help what's going on in Michigan and help you? Is there a phone number? Is there a Facebook page for us to join? Or what is your call to action for our people listening?
Well, we do have a few things out there that people can go to. Native Rights Michigan is a Facebook page ran by Monica Washington Padul. She tried to keep up. She keeps up with that. Of course, people can always contact me. We had a website, but that's being worked on right now. It's not really up and going at the moment. But hopefully we'll have that going again. So if they just like Google Native Rights Michigan, there'll be different things that it comes up. They can always do Michigan Coalition Against Racism in Sports Media at hotmail.com if they want to send an email to me.
Cool. And then is there any politicians or any kind of action where you'd like our listeners to, because we know here by being on many years now, 7 years, that the politicians do listen when they get a phone call or an email. Is there anybody that you'd like us to have our listeners reach out to in a good way to support your actions?
Well, yeah, call the governor.
Yeah.
We'll go straight to the top.
Right.
Yeah, let them know that, you know, it's not appreciated. Because another thing I'd like to mention is mm-hmm. that people need to realize that these schools that have Native American imagery, you know, they say, oh, we honor you, we do all this stuff, you know, and
right.
You know, it's in their community, so, you know, you're an outsider, get out, and this and that. But what they don't realize is when they leave their town, mm-hmm. city, whatever, and they carry that race-based imagery with them out to another town, they are affecting other Native people in another community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, you know, it's ours, we're here, this is our place. No. You're carrying that with you out to other places. So you need to take into account who you're affecting with that. And a mascot doesn't make you who you are. You know, they're nice to have. It's great for the kids. You got to have that, you know, team spirit thing and all that. Mm-hmm. Assemblies. But it's the town. It's the kids. It's the coaches. It's the teachers. It's the community that makes you who you are.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I just want to say I really appreciate you coming on tonight and reaching out, too. And, you know, Linda, I see this picture of we have a picture of you up on our YouTube and Facebook Live, and we have met before.
Yes, we have.
So I did not know that until I saw this picture. This is awesome. We got to have you on more often. this is good words, and we can talk about some more things that are happening in Michigan, because, like I said, we have people listening to us all over the country, and so we'd love to get more updates from you, Linda. This has been a really big pleasure of mine and Haley's to have you on today.
Well, I'm honored that you asked me, and, you know, we were able to reconnect and have the discussion, because it's one that needs to be done more often. You know, I know it's a big thing out there, but we need more education so that people can understand better.
Perfect. Yeah. So, again, thanks for stopping in, and we're going to have you on again, and keep working. And also, I want to really say, Pinigi, thank you for all your years advocating for our people all over the Turtle Island. And now that I put a picture to the face, I know your work, and I really appreciate all you've done these past years and what you're doing now.
Well, me glad.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon, and thanks so much for stopping in.
Mama P. Minnewa Kloverman.
Right on. We'll see you. Pinigigi, thank you so much. Wow, Haley, that was a really good interview. Really appreciate Linda coming in. And it's just amazing. I mean, you being a young person, what do you feel like of mascots? Has it been kind of just a blur of them? Or are you young enough to know that they're not good and people have been removing them?
I've definitely been aware of certain types of mascots like that, definitely in you know, our culture is not a game. It's not something you play with, and it shouldn't be something that you use for a sports team's name. I think it's disrespectful. I think, you know, I don't think that the Redskins' name should come back in Washington. And you know, I'm seeing, you know, that petition to bring back that name, if it gets, you know, 150,000 signatures, it'll be the most signed on change.org ever, which is wild.
Well, and which also, you know, there's still a lot of racists out there. And you also think about, well, Trump got 70 million votes, and people, one of the things I think Linda was alluding to that I didn't really get into with her about is that, you know, it's generational. And I think a lot of people that aren't educated maybe are worried about losing some illusion of power and, you know, not being able, not telling people what to do, and especially, you know, the city versus urban versus country is a real thing. And we really have to, at least here in Minnesota, we have to really become the DFL again. And that's the Democrat Farmer Labor Union, and get the laborers back in and the farmers, because these other people are not for them. And we got to unite and educate. And that's what we're doing here. And thanks for the great show. And thanks for doing everything you do, Haley. And I want to thank Dr. Stately and, of course, Linda Kilborn. It's great to see her again. This is Native Roots Radio.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.